I can't go anywhere else. Let's just pick up and continue from this morning's service. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Let me see if I've got that handout. The prophecies that Tim gave out this morning. Yeah. Well, can you tell already this is going to be a different year? I was thinking, trying to mull over the message that the Lord brought through me today. And the one that comes to my mind, how many of you remember the message that Mark did last year sometime, I think, where he has the two men come up and they hold a rope? Okay, and then and that was such a good teaching, and they would tie red flags on there, and those red flags were symbolic of maybe a word that you would get from the Lord, either a prophecy or maybe something the Lord said to you individually, and you could mark those times, and okay, that's and of course you never can see the rest of the rope from, all you can see is the one right in front of you, Well, that was really good, and that's a good teaching. But then he did another one later, and he had some black flags. You remember the black flags? You remember what they represented? The black flags represented strongholds. Because sometimes, in order for you to do that next thing that God said, sometimes there's a black flag between you and the red flag. And you have to deal with that, But I remember one of the services, and just knowing how the Lord dealt with me. Okay, we're going to talk about smoking. Okay, Gary. He's always mean to me and nice to you. Well, during those years when I was dealing with that particular stronghold, how the Lord dealt with me, okay, here is the rope. I can't see real far in the future either, but, opportunity to preach at the prayer center came. Is there like a red flag? And I didn't seek after it. Dave and Tim, they asked me to preach. And if y'all remember that message, of course some of you weren't here, here I've got this stronghold of this black flag stronghold hanging here that's of smoking. God let me slide it down the rope. And I got to preach and I got to keep my stronghold. Then I got to do some other things and I got to slide it down the rope again. See, God is long suffering and merciful with us. And I got to do several things. We did a Bible study and there were things I got to do. And I dealt with some other strongholds, but that one there, that was my favorite. I just slide it down the rope, But see, finally we come to going overseas. Come to going overseas for the first time, going to Poland. Going to Poland, first trip. And yes, sir, when he told this to me, I did not yet know we were going. I didn't have anything set. But he spoke to me and he said, now this, again, when I say he spoke to me, I mean this one was not I felt led. I'm okay with I felt led, really. But there are times when it's beyond an I felt led. I know exactly where I was. I was in New York doing some meetings up there. And we were in a motel. It's just a pretty nice motel. It had two rooms. It had a bedroom and a living room. So Sue was already asleep and we closed the door and I was just up praying and just listening. And boy, the presence of the Lord came. He came really strong. To me, he was there. Now, I couldn't see him. Well, I could. But I couldn't. If you've ever had that experience, don't ask me what he looked like. I can't tell you. But he was there. And I just remember the conversation. It's as clear to me. And he just started talking. I knew exactly he was talking about smoking. I knew that's what he didn't say smoking. But he said to me, he says, where I'm going to send you next, you're going to have to deal with this stronghold. Because they will not receive anything that you have to say unless you deal with it. He said to me, I remember he said, now you know that you're coming to heaven. You are doing work, good work, you and I together. There's fruit coming to your account. And if you were to die and come to heaven right now, you'd have a reward. In other words, we weren't dealing with a heaven issue. Son, he says, if you don't deal with this stronghold, when you get here, whenever that is, if you never deal with this stronghold, I will have to draw back a curtain and I'll have to show you the things that it was in my mind for you to do for me that you never will do for me. because you're going to have to deal with that stronghold. Oh, that was a hard night. I don't remember if I got any sleep. If I got any, it wasn't very much. We're 1,400 miles from home. We drove there. How many of you know, as a truck driver, I developed a habit of smoking and driving? I mean, you know. And at the time, Sue still smoked. If she was here, she wouldn't care, you know, until anything out of school. Yet I knew that my time, and the reason this is relevant, it's where we are now with other strongholds. And I knew that the time was up. I never had another cigarette from that day till now. But I thought I was going to die. And I will tell you, I used helps. I used lozenges, you know, those, what do you call them? Well, I got the cheaper ones. I couldn't afford those. But the Nicorettes, it was an off-brand, yeah, generic off-brand, but it was the same basic idea. I don't think the Lord's against us using whatever help we can get, you know, whatever you're, when you're dealing with a stronghold. But the truth of it is, from that day till now, and it's been more than 10 years ago, I never had another one. But now it was hard, I'm telling you. And if I had have slipped and had one, is that the end? No, you dust yourself off, get yourself back up, treat the Lord like he's real, tell him you're sorry, and you start again. But the reason I'm telling that, the reason I think I'm being prompted to tell that, where we're going now, there's no more sliding the strongholds down the rope. This prophecy that, this one on December 29th, and I'm so eager to hear what else the Lord has to say through Tim about these, but I'm only going to really talk about this one. This came at Calling in the Lost, the last service of 2013. It says, what I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to him. Well, that's this year, 2014. There is going to be great division in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go, and I'm telling you that's okay. It's the year of selling out to him, and whatever his will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. Well, I got a taste of that, dealing with that stronghold, because if Gary was going to live unto himself, I'd still be smoking to this day. Okay? But there came a time when I could no longer follow him and keep that stronghold. God, I wish that was the last stronghold. I kind of did, to be honest with you. I kind of did. I thought, boy, if I ever deal with this one. Michael knows from the day he met me, I smoked forever in 3 days, you know. I'd had that since I was 14 years old. I didn't know how to function as an adult without it, you know. And I kept thinking to myself, I thought, if I ever get rid of that one, that's the, what is that, the mother of all strongholds. That's and then, you know, and you know what I found out? There were other things, other strongholds, even more hideous than that. Well, I think for all of us, this is the year of no sliding the strongholds down the rope. So this warfare, see the way it's worded, there's going to be great division in the church. Well, no wonder they put up Dave's message from 2005. If you haven't heard that yet, don't let 24 hours go by until you hear it. And that's the one titled, The Severity of Something of Taking Offenses. I've already listened to it once. I'm going to listen to it again. www.daveroberson.org. Click on Media. Click on Weekly Services. It's not the last one listed in 2014. It's about three up. And I think they put it like maybe last Sunday. You know, last Sunday's date, when the Lord spoke to Dave about this revival. It's a revival of signs and wonders, miracles, media. Remember one of them was doctrine? Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some doctrine wars this year, maybe. Some people will not like it. See, when Tim said that this morning, I've known it for a long time, that when they began to allow me to minister here and I was still smoking, so we lost some people. And I can't really blame them for that. I really don't. But I have felt terrible about it. But we are what we are. We do what we do. You go on. But see, later when I started teaching that we're not under the legalistic tithe, we're not under that curse, okay? Do you know we lost people over that? Do you know we still do? Whenever I come around and teach it again, we may have some people that's come in within the last year and I haven't taught it, but then when they hear it, because they're so programmed by the TV preachers and probably most churches, that they're just programmed that way. And when they first hear it, it offends them and they leave. Well, I hate that. That makes my heart hurt. But am I going to change because of that? No, I'm going to still teach. Hopefully I'll teach it in more and more love. Again, what humans tend to call love. Amen. See, Jesus is love with legs. He really is. If you want to know God's love, who do you look at? Jesus. And there are times when you got to talk. See, sometimes the woman caught in the adultery, in the act of adultery, the compassion that he had for her is just amazing. But he did say to her as she left, go and sin no more. You think he's just kidding? You think that's just a little platitude? No, he's warning her. Go. Sin no more. See? How about with the Pharisees? And you got to understand, he was love to the Pharisees. He is doing his best to rescue them from hell. He plainly told them, if you guys don't believe that I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He's trying to rescue them. But boy, does love talk straight sometimes? You whitewashed tombstone, you brood of vipers. You travel land and sea to make one proselyte. And then when you get him, you make him twice the son of hell you are yourselves. Oh my God. I thought he loved me. He does. See? God has all of the attributes of mama and daddy. You got that? You know, mama and daddy. Sometimes mama, sometimes you need a daddy to show up. Okay. Hallelujah. So some of this warfare is going to be, probably we're going to have some divisions, you know. That's what Dave is specifically talking about on that message. That it's so, and be sure you print out the prophecy, or it's a vision about the pyramid. Be sure you do that. Under, just when that starts happening and you see it this year, just know. The Lord forewarned us all the way back in 1995. But now we're there. Okay? But see, then also it says, with good intentions, but great warfare. Well, that warfare there, I believe, is also talking about the internal warfare. Because if we're really going into revival, how many of you, now, don't answer this. Please don't answer this. But I could ask the question, how many of you think Gary is stronghold free? Don't answer it. Because even Gary doesn't think that he is. See, Gary thinks there's still some things that the Lord is dealing with here in Gary. So if I could see my rope, you know. Yeah, there's more red flags, I'm sure, but there's probably some more black flags here. Well, this is the year of dealing with them. And I don't think they're going to slide down the rope anymore. And if the warfare on these is anything like the warfare I went through then, it's not the happiest days of my life. I'm just telling you right now, those were hard, hard days. But I'm really glad that I went through them. And I'm glad that that's over. It'd be nice if I could see all my strong. Well, I know, probably wouldn't be nice. It would be nice if I knew how many were left. No, maybe that wouldn't be good either. I'm thinking, only two more to go, and then revival. Only two more strongholds. I don't know how many. All right, well, I guess we better read the word here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, here's the verse. We'll do 8 and 9 together. 9 is the one that I'm after. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Did I tell you the wrong one? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Boy, that's a hard lesson to learn. That you learn not to trust in yourself. See, and especially if you were raised, I love my dad. I was raised by O.R. Carpenter. Him and my mom are two of the most independent people you would ever know in your life, you know. And his motto that was drilled into me when it's too tough for everybody else, just right for you. No such thing as can't. Just can't, hardly. It might be hard, but son, you can do it. Well, when you're raised with that kind of a, and it's not wrong. I think that's good. But see, where God's taken us, we can't do that. I don't know if it's dawned on you yet. Gary can't open blind eyes. I've got to depend on somebody else to open blind eyes. I can't heal the sick. I can't fix it. I can't even fix me, much less fix you. But he's calling on us to learn to trust in something bigger than us, and that's him. I think about Paul there at Ephesus. It was a real event. A real event, you know, and they're thinking they're going to die. God, what do we do? Do we book it? Do we get out of here? Do we escape with our lives, or do we stay and die? And we had the sentence, the answer of death, stay and die. Well, by definition, won't that kind of be the end of the ministry? What? But see, he wanted them to learn to trust even beyond all natural, normal thinking. That even if the worst happens and they kill you, you got to trust in the God who raises the dead. God. Dear Lord Jesus. And that's where we're going. That's where we're going. It's that, if that was, see, well, you see, that was to an apostle. Well, that was to a sold out person. And I think I'm looking at a lot of sold out people. Now, verse 10, thank God for verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. And he did deliver, and he does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Boy, he will too. He will too. But on that journey, this year I think especially, we're going to be dealing with strongholds. He's going to be dealing with false doctrine that may be on the inside of any of us, including yours truly. I think everything that can not like you will show up. Everything that can, that's a good way to put it. Everything that can not like you is going to show up to try and run you off. Offenses real and imagined. See, a lot of offenses are just imagined. You wouldn't believe the people over the years, they just call me, they're so upset. That Tim, he walked right by. He didn't even look me in the eye. He didn't acknowledge me at all. But see, I know Tim. Tim is one of the most focused people you'll ever see in your life. When he is focused on a problem, the rest of the universe does not exist. And he was probably focusing on something at that moment. You're right. He didn't see you. Get over yourself. You know? Get over yourself. I know the man. All right? But he's one of the most great, him and Leah, two of the most gracious people I've ever known. Do anything for you. We've got to be careful this year. Dear God, I hope we're not little children still offendable like that. I hope I'm not. I hope you're not. Okay? All right. Now, I didn't really make this point well enough this morning. Come on down in chapter 2 of that same book. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Chapter 4 of the same book. I'm going to back up just a little more than I did this morning. Start in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Glory. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now again, he's talking again about looking to some power that's not of you, that we learn not to trust in ourselves, but in the living God. Okay, now he's talking in a different way. Now over there, he just talked about that one incident. He's talking about that incident in Asia, in Ephesus. But here, he's going a little farther. And notice he says, we are troubled with just one problem. Is that what he said? We are troubled on what? You don't know how many phone calls I get. And I imagine Tim gets more than that. So my roof is leaking. The kids are in rebellion. My back is killing me. Lost my job. The car's got a flat. Dishwasher ran over. And I don't feel like praying. Troubled on every side. The devil's trying to stop you. It's not about you. It's about the word that's in you. And even more than that, it's about the revelation of the word that's in you. That's what makes you dangerous to the devil. Galatians, where he talks about, don't go there, the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first one?
Love.
Second one? Joy. Third one? Peace. We never, in all of these 20 some odd years of ministry, have I ever received a phone call from anyone saying, my problem is I'm overflowing in too much love, joy, and peace. Never. And all these years, please help me, Pastor Gary. Please help me. I'm overflowing in too much love, joy, and peace. I don't know what to do. I actually got a phone call this afternoon that was pretty close to that, but it's the first one I've ever gotten from somebody. But we are troubled on every side. But now notice, yet not distressed. And that's the key. Boy, if you have not, see, here we go again. I don't know if you've got all of the foundation stones. And what I mean by that are the revelations of Pastor Dave. I don't know if you have them in you or not. He has a series called Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. If that has been, if not just the teaching, but if you have put in practice what's on that teaching, then you can claim this, you can have trouble on every side and yet not be distressed. Doesn't mean the trouble's not there, but you're not distressed. How about this one? We are perplexed. What? There were times when the Apostle Paul was puzzled. Maybe he wasn't sure of the direction of God. Well, you can see that in Acts 16. Didn't know what to do. Maybe we need to go to Bithynia. Nope, don't go to Bithynia. Maybe we need to go to Asia. Nope. Don't go to Asia. I don't know what to do. Perplexed. You're in good company. I don't always know what to do. And sometimes I pray about it for days and sometimes weeks. And the silence will just be deafening. You're not the only one. Keep praying in other tongues, by the way. Praying in tongues, when your mind is having a really hard time grasping what God's saying. See, I am of the firm opinion God does not withhold his voice from you. I don't think a good father does that. I just... And James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not, see? But I think it's my mind a lot of times has a hard time receiving what it is that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to me. So I believe in, even especially in those times when it seems like the heavens are brass. You ever hear that expression? You know, there's like, man, I've prayed, I've been fasting, I haven't, and I'm not hearing anything. Keep praying in other tongues a lot. Because you're still praying the mysteries of God, which includes your leadership. I've said before, thank God Michael taught us what we knew about praying in other tongues before we ever heard of the prayer center. We didn't know to the depth then that we know now, but we made a habit, Sue and I did. We would always pray some in other tongues every day, and that might be 10 minutes, and we thought that was superstar material. But every time we did that, I know that we're praying God's plan. I know it now that we're praying God's perfect plan. So I think that was involved, even though I didn't hear a voice say, move into this house that's less than 2 miles from the prayer center. See, God had us in the right house. I look at that decision that we're in there. I never heard God say, rent that house. But yet I know that part of that inner, from my spirit direction. No doubt was set. He had me in the right job. You know, he had me in that long haul trucking job. I mean, I don't know of a better job you could have if you want to pray all you can stand and get paid for it at the same time. I just never will believe that was accident. See? But I don't remember him. I don't remember hearing him tell me that. There is this peace, a leadership that comes. That it's not always peaceful. Huh, are you kidding? What about Jesus agonizing in the garden? Don't tell me he was being led by peace. He was going, not my will, but thine be done. He knew what the will of the Father was, and apparently there was a war going on. So you're not always just led by peace. Yeah, people take that too far, you know. I remember that time that we had the opportunity to go on Sid Roth's program. And when it finally dawned on my lightning quick mind, when that lady asked me, she said, now you know that this goes out to multi-millions of people. Reverend Carpenter, you always know you're in trouble when they say reverend. Because normally what they do at the end of one of those programs, they offer, in those days, cassettes for sale or a book that you have for sale or something, and they split the proceeds with you. And that's okay. Except the Lord had told us not to sell anything. I said, well, I guess we could offer a couple of cassettes for free to people. Reverend Carpenter, are you aware that Sid Roth program, I forget now, but it was this program goes out in Europe and South America, all over the USA and Canada. Are you really ready to offer 2 cassette tapes for free to Zama Zama million people? There was no peace. My natural mind, are you kidding? Here's what my natural mind was doing. No, I'm not ready to do that. Are you crazy? You think I just come in off the turnip truck? What's wrong with you? I'm not going to do that. I don't even know where our next meal is coming from. No, we're not going to do that. Talk about being led by peace, phooey. But I had learned, we'd been going here for a while, and I had learned where that place is on the inside of me. I've learned. And I listened. And I heard, and I'm on the phone with the lady, you know. I heard this. I said, I heard my father say, we can afford it. Click. Then I went, oh God, oh God, oh God. Why did you do that? Oh! Led by peace, my foot. Did you know he got us through it? Lives were touched. The ministry expanded. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But there is a leadership that comes. Praying in other tongues. My natural mind, I think God's perfect plan, I think with Jesus and the Father, I think he came to the place where he was in instant, constant communication with the Father all the time. I think he was. Can't prove it, but I think so. That's my goal. I'm not there. But I'm somewhere past where I was when I started here. I'm walking in more of that communication and fellowship than I was when I started here. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Let's go back to this verse. Troubled but not distressed. We are, perplexed. We don't always know what to do. Even Paul didn't always know what. We're perplexed. Maybe sometimes he did what God told him, like the time he went to Philippi. And he just did what God said. They cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl. And they wind up in prison. And in the stocks. Now, you might be a little perplexed right there. But notice, the key, everybody gets perplexed. The key, not in despair. And that's where the enemy is going to try and get you. Give up. I'm probably the only one the enemy has said that to in the last year. Yeah, I know I'm lying now. Father, I repent for lying. I knew better when I said it. No, that's it. He wants you to give up, leave, get out of town. Why? Because he hates you? He does. That's not why. You're a threat to him. I'm going to say it again. It's not about you. It's about revival. That pyramid vision, I read it again today. In fact, I've read it several times since it was made available again. If you can picture that pyramid, Dave, obviously, he's the block. He's the stone at the top. Then there's stones under him, another rows. If I was the enemy, and I'd already took a bunch of good shots at that top block, and how many of you know there's been some really, I think, shots that would have stopped most men. But he, our pastor, is still standing strong. Okay? And so far, the blocks closest to him have not moved. Okay? Whoever that is, I'm not going to say, but the blocks right under there. What would you do now if you was the devil? I'd start kicking the blocks below there, trying to crumble the pyramid some other way. See, that's why this message is so important. You say, well, I'm not preaching here. I'm not doing anything. You're part of the pyramid. You're part of the revival. You're part, and that's you also on watching, listening by the way of the internet. You are a part of the pyramid. And these things, these troubles and distresses and perplexities and persecutions, they're coming against you, all right, but really it's not about you. It's about revival. And he's trying to crumble down the pyramid and make the whole structure fall. Well, a big part of it is becoming to the place where you're not offendable. That's the message that Dave's teaching. Don't become offendable and do all you can not to offend. But I'm telling you right now, some people are going to get offended just from the truth itself. Just from the truth itself. You know, you tell them the truth and tongues is for today. Right there's enough to run some folks off. Healing is for today. Right there's enough to run some folks off. See? Well, you can't quit telling the truth just because they get offended. One more. So we are perplexed sometimes, but not in despair. Despair is where you just give up, you know. Persecuted. I think there's going to be more of that this year. Persecution's a little different than trouble. Persecution is like what's coming in our nation regarding lifestyle choices. And when we stand up and say what the Bible really says, more and more there's going to be persecution. And it may get bad. It may get real bad. Now, the reason it says, but not forsaken, because that's what the enemy's going to try and tell you. When they're saying what they're saying and calling you a hater and calling you a bigot and calling you everything but a good person. It could get worse than that. Could be other things. I don't want to. But the enemy is going to try and come with the thoughts, God's forsaken you. You're forsaken. Even God's not on your side anymore. And if you go by feelings, if you go by circumstances, if you judge by what's seen, you remember Alan's wonderful message about why we look at the things that are not seen? If you judge by what's seen and emotions, you're in danger of falling into the accusation and agreeing with the devil. And again, the idea is to get you to quit, give up. Be forsaken, feel forsaken. Nobody loves me. Cast down. Now that's really interesting there. Cast down. I'm not going to do a major thing here. You can tell part of it by what he says, the rest of the sentence. But not destroyed. Sometimes ministries are destroyed because of faults that they never dealt with, strongholds. So sometimes they're destroyed from within. Usually they were destroyed from within. But in the context he's talking about here, this is external coming to try and stop you. And there may be some success. It may be something happened, could be a lawsuit, could be something else, I don't know what. Maybe you have I know most of you don't have established ministries yet, but you're maybe aspiring towards something. And the enemy take a shot that makes it look like that's the end of that. That's never going to happen. Cast down. But you have got to be that person that is not destroyed. Who can separate us? See, let's go back over there, Romans 8. For years I had this backwards, to be honest with you. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I just couldn't understand this passage right here because I just had it backwards. See, starting in verse 35, Romans 8:35. See, when it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I read this whole thing wrong for years. I thought what this meant was these things were going to separate me from his love. Like persecution or affliction and all this stuff, he starts listening, somehow was going to eventually separate me. Like he would quit loving me. And that's just backwards. That's not what he's talking about. The enemy is throwing all of this stuff at you, trying to get you to separate yourself from his love. That's the whole purpose. I'm distressed. I'm destroyed. I'm cast down. Surely he doesn't love me anymore. I'm going to give up. That's what this is about. So now, in the right context, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The devil says, I'll send tribulation. That'll make them quit serving him. They'll quit loving him. Yeah. If I send tribulation, that'll do it. My goal is to stop that person or bunch. Nope, that didn't work. Well, we got to try distress. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? That's the same list. That's almost word for word what we're just reading over here. If we went on to 2 Corinthians 12, that's as amplified as what the Satan assigned that demon, that demonic spirit to stop Paul. You can read about all that stuff and what was it designed to do? Stop Paul from serving Jesus. Well, all of this stuff is to stop you from serving Jesus, to separate you from the love of God. See? Tribulation, distress, persecution. Now, so far, we haven't come into famine, nakedness, peril or sword. Well, you might. It's coming closer to our shores all the time. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. See, the worst they can do is kill you. For I am persuaded that neither death, he starts off with that one. Death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I don't even know what all this means, nor height, nor depth. I don't know what he's talking about exactly. Nor any other creature, and that just means created thing. Nothing on this created earth shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now we're going to phrase that, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to phrase that just a little different. This is the prayer center version of that verse. I don't care what hell throws at me. Say it after me. I don't care what hell throws at me. Persecution. Persecution. Tribulation. Tribulation. Distress. Sword. Principalities. I don't care what it is. Jesus loves me. And I love Jesus. I am going to serve Jesus. His will for my life has not changed. And I am going to stay and do what I know to do. And walk in this revival. In Jesus' name. Now this is the year of selling out to him. You say, well, I already have. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell out more. Anything residual of pride, ego, status. There might be comforts. Comforts. My age, I really like comforts. Don't always get to keep your comforts, you know. Because I'm telling you right now, we are a bought people. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And whatever he comes for, I intend for him to get it. You too? You too? Tell him. Say, Jesus, whatever you need, come to my house first. Whether you need my time, my money, my living room, my car, whatever you need, come to my house first. Hallelujah. And we're going to get to that in the confessions. What a year. I'm so glad. I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm excited about selling out. I may not seem so excited as I find more black flags. But right now I'm excited about it, you know. Hallelujah.